Affairs. Today's acceptable affair is unforgiveness. We seem to think it's okay to hold things against people. And everyone's like, that's right, I wouldn't forgive him either. Do you know what he did to everybody? What a jerk. I ain't going to forgive him. And then people are like, I wouldn't either. He deserves what he gets. How many carry that attitude? Come on, be honest. Are you there? You right? Right? Shame on you. So what happens is when we have unforgiveness, I want you to know, and we're going to see as we go through this, that we poison our own soul. And God is really very clear on what he thinks about you and I when we carry unforgiveness. Very clear about it. As a matter of fact, he has some strong verbiage in the scripture that is harsh. It really is harsh. And man, I'm telling you, as I sat down and I was reading this and studying this out and getting everything ready for this sermon and just kind of unfolding it all, I'm like, and I don't say this arrogantly. I said, Lord, after I got done, I said, Lord, thank you that you have allowed me to have a forgiving spirit. Because I would not want to have to go through this with you with an unforgiving spirit. It's ugly. Now, did I say it was ugly? Yeah, it's uglier than that. It's ugly. Unforgiveness, man. I'm going to tell you, there was an evangelist who was actually a counterpart to Billy Graham. He traveled with Billy Graham in the beginning of time. This is what he said about unforgiveness. There's one sin that Christians have more difficulty with than any other. And there's one sin that is holding back the power of God more than any other sin in the life of a Christian. And he said this, it is the sin of an unforgiving spirit. See, we think if we hold on to ugly and we hold on to grudges and we're going to get even and we're going to, you don't deserve my forgiveness. What if God said, you don't deserve my forgiveness? Think about this just for a second. Because the reality is that's exactly what God said. And we're going to look at it as we look at the scriptures. For those who are unforgiving, God says, I don't forgive you. And for those of you who are like, oh, I'll forgive you on all these different contingencies that we were going to put in place. And God's like, fine, that's the way I'll forgive you. Oh, you want to hate? Fine, I have no problem with hate you. And you're like, God doesn't hate. Oh, hold on, I got a verse for you. See, as we go through this, guys, and we look at this, I'm just going to tell you, God is not pleased with an unforgiving spirit. As a matter of fact, as we go through this, you're going to see that God says that if you don't have a forgiving spirit, you don't have his spirit. Does that mean you're not saved? I don't know. Throw that one out there all loosely. Look here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Did I give you guys that one? Perfect. Thank you. So anybody know what this is? Before we even get into this passage we're about to look at? What is it? Lord's Prayer. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Wait a minute. That is not six. That is six. Is that 6:14? No, I'm sorry. Go to 6:9. My apologies, guys. I want to get the whole thing in. Forgive me. I thought I put the whole. Go to 6:9, and then we'll work our way through. We're gonna go 9 through 12, and then we'll jump over. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Now, this is Jesus giving us an example of how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be that your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses or your sins. Ouch. I don't think God is happy with those that don't forgive. Amen. And he's like, look, I'm going to give you what you have offered to give to others. So in verse 13 or 12, I'm sorry, in verse 12, I want you to look at this. If you just go to verse 12 for me. And forgive us our debts. The last line here, it says here, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Literally, what you're saying is, God, you forgive me the way I forgive others. There's a punch in the face for some. Amen? You forgive me, Father, as I forgive others. And listen, so if you don't forgive, he doesn't forgive. If you partially forgive, he partially forgives. Whatever manner you extend forgiveness is the manner you receive forgiveness. And the truth is, guys, if you can't forgive, do you really have your Father's Spirit? I mean, this is real stuff. You know, we live in an age, and we're going to talk about the bitterness, and we're going to talk about the guilt, and we're going to talk about all this stuff that unforgiveness carries. Because we think it's destroying the other person, but the reality is it's destroying us. It is robbing us of so much. And you might say, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Did we deserve God's forgiveness? But yet you sure enough like it, didn't you? You see what I'm saying? Why is it that we, oh man, we're such hypocrites and sinful creatures we are. I like it as long as it's good for me. But don't give it to the next person. They don't deserve it. Like you did. Right? So it's just crazy, right? We want it, but we're not willing to give it. It just frustrates me to no end sometimes, but that's my personal issue. So let's move on. I want you to see that when you forgive, this should be the next PowerPoint if you'll look at it there, Josh. There you go. When you forgive, you set a prisoner free, and then you discover that prisoner is you. When you forgive, you set a prisoner free, and then you discover that prisoner is you. I'm telling you, unforgiveness, it only destroys the container that it's in. Most people don't even know what the issue is when we don't forgive, and we get mad at them. And I'm telling you, all it takes is some communication, and look, you know what? Oh, you're an idiot. I've been an idiot before too, so I understand, but you're an idiot, and I'm going to forgive that. Look how easy that just got. But for some reason, we're like, you don't deserve my forgiveness. There's two great enemies that come against the human soul, the spirit, and our psyche. And one enemy is guilt and the other is bitterness. And I put this in here. So many people are absolutely driven into the ground spiritually, psychologically, and physically by guilt and bitterness. You know, guilt and bitterness, man, will cripple you. This guilt that that we carry around, I'm not good enough, I messed up, I can't forgive myself, blah, 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 blah. If you've been forgiven by God and you say you can't forgive yourself, here's what you're doing. You are saying that your forgiveness is greater than God's forgiveness. Your forgiveness has more value than God's forgiveness. And so we carry around this guilt that we should just give away. God, here, it's yours. I'm not taking it. I'm not going to allow nobody to beat me up, and I'm not going to beat anyone else up. And so, God, I'm giving you this guilt. Because here's what we find out with guilt and bitterness is in this passage here that we are looking at. It deals with both guilt and bitterness in verse 12. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so this passage here actually deals with the two things. It deals with guilt, forgive us our debts, right? Because we're guilty. How many here is guilty of sin? That's what debts are, sin. How many is guilty of sin? See, and the rest of you didn't raise your hand. You're liars. So now you're guilty. I just brought you into the fold. It deals with guilt, which is forgive us of our sin or our debts. And then it deals with bitterness as we forgive our debtors. And I'm just going to tell you, when you hold on to bitterness, it just makes you a very ugly person on the inside. Very ugly. And then we want the world to come into the church when we're just nastier than we could be. And we're setting the example by hating people. We're setting the example by not forgiving. We're setting an example. Oh, yeah. Hey, let me invite you to church. I'm a Christian. Oh, I can't stand them. I don't know how you can even talk to them. You need to kick them. Don't bring them around me. And people are looking at you like, really? Just, we're crazy. People are crazy. And not only are they crazy, but look at me. They're getting crazier every day. Do you know why? Because they're walking away. Yeah, I'm kidding. Because they're walking away from Jesus. They're walking away from the Word of God, and they're clinging on to philosophy, and they're clinging on to their self-righteousness, and they're clinging on to their selfish desires, and they're clinging on to all this stuff. There's just little Klingons everywhere, clinging on to everything but Jesus, and then wondering why our worlds are falling apart. Hating and wondering why we don't feel delivered by God. Absolutely refusing to forgive and then wonder why we can't feel the presence of God in our life. Living like hypocrites and wondering, why isn't God blessing me? It's the insanity that we walk in that we think we deserve something that we absolutely do not, because we're. I'm just going to take a breath. Because I'm just dumbfounded sometimes about how selfish we are. Which, by the way, just so you know, next week's acceptable affair is self. So now if you're not here, we know because you know. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's like, I ain't going there and listen to Pastor talk about me. I promise you, I will not put any names out. It's just... listen, when we're forgiven, we're set free from the prison of guilt. When we forgive others, we are free from the prison of bitterness. And that's what I think that we forget to extend what God has extended to us. Right? And we actually have a passage in scripture that we're going to look at that shows that. And it's like, okay, God, I'm free from guilt because you have delivered me and you have freed me. But then if we don't free someone else, we hold on to the bitterness and that just festers. And you might have salvation, you might be going to heaven, but God's not going to bless you. You literally have cursed your life with unforgiveness. You've cursed it. And when you curse your own life, you curse your own... God's like, okay, I'll give you what you give. And then you get frustrated, like, where's God? And God's like, I'm right where you put me. What's God doing? And God's like, I'm giving you exactly what you asked for. And we don't even realize we destroy ourselves. God wants to give us all this freedom. God wants to give us like all these blessings. God wants to give us so much. But we curse our own life by, I'll take your forgiveness, God, for me, but I'll be daggum if I'm going to give it to someone else. That's a Southern term. Daggum. I don't know why I say it. It just flows so smoothly. Doesn't it? How many of you in your brain just went, daggum? Heather, you know you want to say it. All right, so look, that's daggum. That's right. All right. So listen, and then when you forgive, you're canceling someone else's debt, just like when Christ forgave us, canceled our debt. That's what forgiveness is. Sin, this is your PowerPoint here. Sin is a debt. Sin is a debt. Forgiveness is the canceling of the debt. Sin is we got to pay for that. And the price for sin is death and hell. Unless you believe unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he cancels that debt, which is pretty amazing. Amen. How many really appreciate the canceling of debt on your own personal account? Amen and amen, right? Why is it that we can't forgive and cancel someone else's debt? Why is it that we feel that we have to hold them to such a degree that God does not hold us to when we ask for forgiveness? And I'm going to tell you why. It costs to forgive. It costs to forgive. What did it cost God the Father to forgive us of our sins? His Son. The greatest possession God ever had, His Son. And He was willing to give it and pay the price for you and me, and it was His life. See, it costs to forgive. It costs to cancel sin. And whatever it is that you're not willing to forgive, let's just say you owe a debt or someone owes you money. And you're like, I'm not forgiving that. I go to my grave, them owing me money. Well, you're probably right. Why not just forgive it? Why not just forgive it? You're like, you don't understand. See, I have this rule about loaning money. It's a wonderful rule. And you might learn something with this today. I never loan any more than I'm willing to give away. That way, if it never comes back, I'm okay, God. Okay, you know what? I was willing to give that much away, so I'm not losing sleep. I'm not getting bitter, and this isn't an issue. They have flawed character, but so do I. That's why I needed Jesus. They need Jesus, and they're probably not saved. So after you smack them in the head, God, we're going to forgive it. Right, sometimes, but I never loan any more than I'm willing to give away. You know why? I'm sparing myself bitterness. I'm sparing myself agony, and then every time I look at them, I got to pretend like we're okay. It's like, you know, you got a new car and you owe me $10, man. What's your problem, dude? Oh, Lord, flatten the tires. Teach him. Man, it's like, is it even worth it? All right, so what I want to do is I want to show you some reasons that you for forgiving. All right. As we look through this, we're going to see several reasons that we need to forgive. And I might actually get done. Probably not. So I won't say it. Okay. All right. I'll just pretend I didn't say anything. All right. So in verse 12, the Bible says, in verse 12, it says, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so the first reason that we should forgive is grace. And we've talked a lot about grace, right? You should forgive because God has so willingly forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32 says this. Did I give you that passage? Oh, that's all right. I'll read it. I thought I put that one in there. You guys are awesome. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so we should extend grace. We didn't earn, deserve the grace that God extended us, but yet we gladly take it. Let me encourage you, extend grace to others. They may not earn it, but man, you need to extend it. Sam Jones, he's another evangelist of yesteryear, and he said, and this is a quote, I had a hard time forgiving people until I made up my mind I wasn't going to fall out with anyone until he treated me worse than I treated Jesus. Gah! That was a kick in the behind. Think about that just for a minute. I had a hard time forgiving people until I made up my mind I wasn't going to fall out with anyone until he treated me worse than I treated Jesus. How bad have we treated Jesus? Not just by putting him on the cross, but how about just the everyday blasphemous lifestyle or activities that we do that don't honor him? Oh, I love Jesus! But there's nothing in your life that would back that up. The hate for others, that unforgiveness, doesn't back that up. And all we do is we create this world, this man, I'm telling you, our whole society just has become this facade, a fake reality, a virtual world, if you will. We come to church or we go somewhere and we're one person, and then we go home and we're another. You're a hypocrite. It's just being a hypocrite. I'm so frustrated, and I'm trying not to let any of that show. But I'm so frustrated because we just, do you think people don't realize? You think people don't see it? Do you honestly think you got away with something? The Bible says that we stand before God as naked. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says you didn't get away with anything. And so why don't we just start treating others and people with love and respect and dignity and extend grace and forgiveness that we so desperately want ourselves? Why are we holding on to the poison that's killing us and enrages us sometimes when we think of someone else that justice hasn't been served? How about if justice was served to you and I by God right now? Would we be so excited to have justice served? We need to extend grace. Grace. We don't know what people are going through. We really don't. And we treat everybody, or we fail to extend grace when we want what we want, not even taking the time to see what people are going through. I don't care, because I want what I want. And we need to learn grace. The other thing is the guilt factor, right? We have the grace factor. Now we have the guilt factor. Reason number two is the guilt factor. And this means that if we do not forgive, then we no longer can be forgiven by God. And you're like, God's a loving God. God's a loving God. And he is, but he's just and righteous and holy. And God cannot be loving without being just, meaning that he will deal with sinners in the way he says he will. And as we're gonna look at some passages where it's like, you can't forgive. You're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. You want to be hateful and angry? Okay, I'll be hateful and angry toward you. And you're like, that's not what God would do, but we're going to find out. That's exactly what God is saying in Matthew here. He's like, the prayer, forgive my debts as I forgive others. Forgive my debts the same way I forgive others or those who owe me. That's literally what that is. And so God's like, yeah, you want to be hateful? I'll be hateful. And we sometimes forget. But literally Matthew 6:12, you are saying, God, I want you to deal with me the way that I deal with other people. And I don't know about you, but that could be pretty scary for some. Amen? Mark 11:25. This is what scriptures say about guilt, being guilty, being forgiven, not forgiving. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. This is a command. Forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Did you see this? Forgive the person so that God can forgive you. If you don't forgive them, God doesn't forgive you. And here's the greatest part. Some of you are going to walk out of here going, I don't agree with Pastor. And what you're really saying is, I don't agree with Mark 11:25. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Which means what? If you don't forgive them, you're not forgiven. This is like literally 1 + 1 = 2. It's not real math, it's reality math. Verse 15. Oh, does that 14 and 15? Go to the next one. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses or your sins. Can this be any more explicit? Guys, if you're holding on to unforgiveness, you're literally cutting God out of your life. You're literally saying, God, I am not interested in what you have. I'm too busy hating this person. That's legit. That's what's happening here. And so when we fail to extend forgiveness, God gives you exactly what you give someone else. But he tells us, like, this isn't shocking. You're not going to sit back one day and go, Lord, I didn't know. And God's going to say, wait a minute, you were sitting at Connecting Point Church and Pastor John went on like a crazy man telling you about it. I know you know. Remember, I wrote it down, see? But do you realize that if you do not forgive anyone of their trespasses, then God will not forgive you of yours. Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. If you're saved, you're saved. And here's how we know it. Because it says here, neither will your, what's the next word? Father. See, it doesn't take you out of heaven. It doesn't take you out of the relationship. It just takes God's hand off of your life. It just takes God's blessing away from you. It doesn't change the relationship. Your Father, right? So we're seeing here that this is the family of God. So don't walk out going, oh man, if I don't forgive, I'm not saved. You're saved. You're just canceling God's blessings on your life. That's all you're doing. You're like, God, I'm not interested in what you got. I'm too busy giving this person what they deserve. Like, right? That's what's happening here. And God's like, okay, but I want you to understand that you're getting what you give. Which means what? You're going to continue to be miserable and unhappy, and you're going to continue to be the acid that eats your own self. Well, they deserve it. Yeah, but you're getting it twofold. Not only are you destroying your life with bitterness, but you're telling God you're not interested in what God has for you because you're too busy hating. You're destroying your own self on a physical level because that bitterness inside, I'm telling you, it eats you up. Forgiveness is the greatest breath of fresh air you'll ever experience. Unforgiveness, you will destroy yourself within. You'll destroy yourself mentally, which then it starts attacking the physical body. And you're destroying yourself spiritually because you're like, God, I'm not interested in what you have. And so it's like this just big old whammy on your life. And God wants to give you so much more, but if we can't let go, we can't have more. And it's just so obvious. And God's very clear about this. And so, and by the way, just so you know, this is Jesus speaking here. This is Jesus speaking. I would have put it in red, but I didn't think about it. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, meaning indefinitely. Indefinitely. We are to forgive indefinitely. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. I'll pay you everything. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave his debt. And you would think that you would be like, this dude is thankful. Just saved him, everything he had, his wife, his children. Woo, this is a win. Thank you. Next verse. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him. Literally just comes up like, bam, full on man, boy. You might not have called him boy. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. So I was being nice. I took the collar, saying, pay me what you owe now. Now the now is implied. It's not there. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Isn't that what we do? Give me help, 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 help. You owe me. You gone, sucker. Isn't it so crazy? Like, that's what we do? Next. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Oh, wait a minute. Stop right there. Because you have to see this. I do not want you to miss this. Not because I'm trying to scare anyone, but because I need you to see the severity of not extending forgiveness and the guilt that it comes in. His master was angry. By the way, this is Jesus sharing. His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. The torturers. Torturers, torturers, torturers. Until he should pay all that was due him. This is a hard verse, right? So my heavenly Father also will do to you. If each of you from his heart, and I love how he's put in here from his heart, because he's like the real deal. You can't just say, oh, I better forgive so that I don't have to pay the price. Because man, you're forgiven. But in my heart, I hate you. Right? Like that's what we have to be careful to do, right? But he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you. Do what? Torture. And you're like, no, he's not going to torture. Back up one verse, please. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Next verse. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. I think that he really means torture here. Punish. It's punish. Punish is really what it is. If you do not forgive from your heart. See the difference, guys? Like, this is how serious God is about unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness destroys not only the container it is in, but those that it gets poured out on. And God will not tolerate it. I'm not here trying to slam anyone. I'm here to try and show you the severity of not forgiving. And how much God is serious about this. and how it poisons your soul and it poisons the other person and it poisons the house and it poisons the town and it poisons the nation. It's just poison on every level. And God says, you don't forgive them, I don't forgive you. And you're going to be punished. Punished. And some of you are sitting there because you're so arrogant about yourself. You're like, yeah, I get away with everything. Let me help you. Not this time. God, Jesus actually means what he's saying here. See, that's the problem with our society today is there's no law. And so people are free to do whatever they want to do and no payment, nobody holding accountable, nobody, you're just free to do it, right? But let me help you. God is long-suffering, but rest assured, he settles all accounts. If he says that you're going to be punished if you don't forgive, he means you're going to be punished. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also what? Must do. Here's another command. You have to forgive. And if you're like, oh, I can't forgive, next week's sermon is for you. Really? Because next week's sermon is about having an affair with yourself. Right? Isn't that what we do? But it's acceptable because we need, oh, I can't even go into it. That's next week. If you don't forgive, your guilt will remain. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't forgive, your guilt will remain. And you're going to be punished for it. And I know so many people want to say, God wouldn't do that. I just read Jesus' words. He will do it. And if you say, no, he won't. Well, I'm glad to know that you know God the Father better than Jesus the Son knows God the Father. That's all I'm going to say. The next factor and reason that we need to forgive is the grief factor. The grief factor. An unforgiving spirit keeps you in prison. I've told you this over and over again because I want you to hear it. And then you might say, well, I'm not going to let them off the hook, right? Because isn't that it? I'm not going to let them off the hook. They're going to pay. Did you hear me? They're going to pay. You heard? Oh, yeah. Wait till I'm done. They'll hate the day they ever met me. I know nobody in here has ever said that. But you know people have said that. Amen? Yeah, nobody knows. I'm the only one. I love how I got spouses going. I ain't saying a word. Right? But listen, when you do that, You are right on the hook with them. You're right on the hook with them. You can't separate yourselves. Because remember, the way you forgive them is the way God forgives you. And the way you hate them is the way God's going to deal with you. And you're going to be punished. You're going to be punished. Make no mistake about it. And so as long as you are attached to hating this person, you are attached to them. Oh, and let me help you out. The old saying is the one who angers you controls you. The one you don't forgive controls you. And so now you are going to go through a process that as you go through this process, you are going to have grief. I shared scripture with you on the guilt and how we're God's going to hold us accountable because we're guilty, 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 guilty when we're unforgiving, right? And so not only that, but if we're just going to bring a lot of grief on ourselves. Forgiveness is not giving to a person what they deserve. Forgiveness is giving to a person what they need. And you and I need it just as much as anyone else needs it. Why would you not extend that when you desperately want it yourself? Why wouldn't you free yourself and open a door for God to bless you? Why are you so full of hate, anger, and bitterness that you're literally just going to shut God out because you're so busy being hateful and angry and bitter at someone? I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like knowing if you take this pill that is cyanide and it's eventually going to kill you, and you're like, oh, okay. And you go, wait a minute, why'd you just take that? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Did you see it? It was so pretty. No, I can't see it anymore. You just ate it. And you choose to kill yourself. When you could easily go, oh, that's cyanide, and throw it away. And live life abundantly that God wants to give us. Why do we choose to be hateful and unforgiving? I don't get it. An unforgiving spirit, bitterness, and bitterness will keep you in the prison of your own making. And then you might say, well, I'll just get even. I'll just get even. I'll just get even. But God says, vengeance is mine. So now we don't even have the right to get even. Vengeance is mine. Well, God, you're too slow. Anybody ever feel that way? Come on, be honest. How many of us? God, what is that? God, don't you? Okay, Lord, in case you forgot, let me help you out. They need you to hit them harder. Right? God says, vengeance is mine. I'm just going to tell you, resentment is a slow suicide. Then we have the gain factor, right? The gain factor. So here's another reason we gain. Why do we forgive? Well, we have the grace factor, which is you've been forgiven. We have the guilt factor, which is, do you have that? Yeah. The guilt factor, if you don't forgive, you curse yourself, right? We've seen that. And then we have the grief factor. You will continue to have grief, and that hurt will continue to hurt you until you release it and let it go. It's just going to cause more and more grief in your life, because here's what happens. Listen, I'm going to tell you, and I've seen this so many times, where I'll give you a beautiful example. And matter of fact, it was so... Some people's reactions were so intense. I actually just went, I was like, I got to do a podcast on it. Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, look at you people. Kill him again. Can you bring him back to life and just kill him again, God? Because that's really what he deserves. As a matter of fact, do it 17 times and then feed him to the lions so he knows what it's like to be eaten. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can get revenge. And so I titled it The Dahmer Dilemma. Did Jeffrey go to heaven? If you're not listening to that podcast, you need to go listen to it. Am I pushing it? Yeah. It's my podcast. No, because what I want you to see and understand is forgiveness. Listen, if you can't forgive, are you really God's? That's a real question. And by the way, what makes Dahmer any different than you and I? Seriously. And you're looking at me like, I haven't killed anyone. Yes, you have. If you weren't the nail, you were the hammer that was going through Jesus' hands and feet. We've all and are all part of killing Christ for nothing. Well, he's just despicable. I'm not going to disagree with that. But if he can't be saved, neither can we. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever. That means anyone, everyone. And when they do, guess what they get? Eternal life. We talked about it on Wednesday night, because, and some were like, there's no way. But hold on a minute. Wait a minute. We look at Paul. You know what Paul did? Paul killed a bunch of Christians just because they were Christians. He was a murderer. Look at him today. God's using him and used him, not today, but back then. And today. God has used him in great, great and mighty ways. We talk about King Manasseh, who was a king that sacrificed his own children, babies, threw them live in the fire to Molech, the child sacrificing God. And then when he ran out of children, guess what he did? He took your children and he threw them in the fire and sacrificed them to Molech. Oh, how disgusting is that man? And then God takes him out of his kingdom. King Manasseh realizes what's going on, repents to God. God restores him back to his kingdom. And King Manasseh gets rid of all things evil in the kingdom and starts serving God. God forgave him and restored him. And he's a baby-killing machine. So when we look at people who have killed, murderers, we see them in the scriptures. And we see where God's forgiven them and used them. And some of you are hating on Dahmer. You've never met the man, nothing else. And you don't even want to see him go to heaven. Well, you need to praise God that God doesn't think like you do. Am I defending Dahmer? Nope. What I'm saying is, the only sin that is not forgivable is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's it, which is denying Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you can't go to heaven. That's the only unforgivable sin. If you look up in Proverbs chapter 6, going to 16 through 19, or Proverbs. Yeah, it is Proverbs. Thank you. And you start, pull that up, man. Proverbs 6:16. I got about 4 minutes. I'll use them. Proverbs 6:16. Oh, beautiful. Look at that. My brain worked. Okay. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And if we know one thing about God, God's a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. Amen. The first thing God hates is what? Oh, pride. Oh, my goodness. He hates pride. I know nobody here has that problem. God hates a lying tongue. How many here? Oh, you're slammed either way, so you might as well go along with it. How many here have ever told a lie? Right? It's like, because he's going to say, if I don't raise my hand, you liars then, right? That's the second thing that God hates. Hates. Is a lying, he hates a liar. And then look at the third. Hands that shed innocent blood. Do you realize murder isn't until third on the list? Oh, no. God, you have messed up. Murder is the worst. God, you got a problem. You can't get this right. You just missed it. But think about that. If you're a liar, where are you going if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Where? So everybody join in. Hell. If you're a murderer, where are you going if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Dagum. Punishment for the same is the same for both. Do you see it? God, we are the ones that we categorize acceptable sins. We categorize, it's okay to say this word, but don't you dare say this word. But both are curse words. Oh, you don't have to forgive them. They don't deserve forgiveness. But God says, I've forgiven. Why can't you? Oh, no, God, you don't understand. And I wish that God could go, hey, Todd, because I don't understand. I'll let you read for yourself your life. How much do you appreciate forgiveness? I could do the same thing. I can look in a mirror and God opens and I start reading my life and I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. See, that's why I extend it to everyone. Everyone. Not because I'm perfect, because there's a couple of things. I can't afford God to take his hand off of me. So I need God's blessing. And I'm not going to shoot myself in the foot by being unforgiving. And number two, you need God's hand on you. So why would I not extend grace, forgiveness, and share the good news of Christ? Because if you get saved or you get right with God, guess what? All things change. If nothing's changed, you might want to look at your salvation. Was it real? Was it real? There's one other factor, and I'm going to end with this. It's the gain factor. You don't have it, Josh. It's the gain factor. Not only do you lose those things that have wounded you, you let them go, you release them, and then you gain the other person. I want to challenge you today. This is encouraging. I want to challenge you today. There's someone in your life that you are not forgiving, that you reach out to them. And you might go, oh, I'm not going to do that. Understand, you're bringing a curse on yourself. And God is like, okay, you can hate. I just withdraw. You're not going to experience me. As long as you're unforgiving, you're not going to experience me. Or you can go, okay, Lord, you know what? I've carried around this acidic poison that just heightens my health-wise, that's not good at all, man. I get enraged when I think about them. I want to challenge you to extend grace and forgiveness. Some people that you haven't forgiven and that you still carry around the bitterness are dead, and you still hold it against them. You still let it destroy you. I'm like, they're dead. Let it go. I challenge you to extend forgiveness to every person that you've been bitter toward. I challenge you to do that so that you can truly experience God. Because until you do that, you will not experience God. Not in his fullest. Some of you have kept a cloud over your house for years. And I want to challenge you to remove it. But it's going to take reaching out. Don't tell me, Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. Well, the difficulty lies in your pride. Not offering forgiveness. The difficulty lies in your pride. If you are so full of yourself that you can't give what you desire, you're telling God, stay out of my life. And you pay the price. So I challenge you, extend grace and forgiveness. So if nothing else, and look, they don't even have to, it's not up to them to receive it. It's just up to you to extend it. God holds you accountable for you and your actions, not the response of someone else. Just extend it and see what God does in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you and Lord, we live in a world that just is full of hate anymore, and they push lies and hate on everyone. And Lord, there's so much in society that if we're not careful, we allow their acceptable affairs to control our lives. And then we begin to believe the lie and think that unforgiveness is an acceptable affair. Father, I ask right now that for those who are struggling with unforgiveness, and Lord, I know Satan was working on people before the sermon started. Father, thank you. Thank you that they stayed. Father, I also know that as people are sitting here hearing this in their mind, they're debating, should they or should they not forgive? They're debating whether they really want your blessing or if they want to keep the curse by not forgiving. And Father, I don't understand that. But Lord, I pray your hand upon each and every one that you would give strength and power, Father, to do that which is right. Father, I pray for each and every one here that they would offer forgiveness to whoever it is, Lord, that is in their life that needs to be forgiven. So that they open up the windows of heaven, Father, that you can pour out blessing on them, Father, that you can give them all the things that you want to give them, which if nothing else, Father, is just a touch from you, whatever that looks like, Father, to be intimate with you. Father, forgiveness opens that door and allows you to sit with us. Allows you to be with us. Father, unforgiveness keeps you away. Lord, help us. Help us, Father, to desperately cry out for you and do whatever it takes, Father, to get you in our life at its fullest. Lord, I pray that our foolishness of holding on to guilt and bitterness and unforgiveness and all that comes with it, Father, I pray we let it go. But Lord, I understand that until we take the first step, and that's give our life to Jesus Christ, Father, we can't take the next step with you, because there is no next step until the first one is done. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step to getting God closer to you. As a matter of fact, without that step, God looks at you as an enemy and will destroy you one day. But when you relinquish your life and give it to Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, and that opens up all that God has to offer, because that makes us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so today I just want to offer you salvation. And here's what it looks like. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just think about where you're at with God. The Bible says that for salvation to happen, that we believe unto Jesus Christ. We put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came, he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, he raised on the third day, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And if scriptures say that if you believe that, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It's got to be with your heart. Just like that other passage says, it's got to be, if we forgive, we got to forgive with our heart. And we understand that. And so if you believe in your heart, not your head, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he's the only way to heaven, and today you surrender all to him, I want you to pray this prayer. Quietly to yourself. The words aren't magical. They're not going to save you. If you don't believe in your heart, you're just as condemned before the prayer as you are after the prayer. For with their heart, man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ, to go to heaven when you die, pray this prayer. Father in heaven, and you pray it quietly to yourself, Father in heaven, today I need your forgiveness. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have resentment in my heart, and I have some hate in my heart, and I just have ugly in my heart. I'm prideful. I want my own way. But today I'm going to die to myself Today, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Today, I believe that He is the only way to heaven. Today, I surrender all. I ask that you forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done in my life. All of my sin, wash it away, please. Today, I repent. I'm no longer going to keep walking that path toward the world. I'm no longer going to keep being unforgiving and I'm hateful and resentful and prideful. And I give all of that to you. I repent. I walk away from that life. I walk away from the things of the world and I turn and I walk toward you. Today, I desperately need you. Father in heaven, today I surrender it all. I give my life to Jesus.